Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
A Hard Knock Wednesday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. Of course, with me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. If you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so sure enough, there was a brand new one popping up over there this morning, so swing on by, get a look at that. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. Of course, you went all the way over there, so you might as well like the Facebook page while you're there. Of course, don't forget we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, of course, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three.
All right, Dan, we had a couple of pitcher signings today, and one got traded. Of course, the biggest one in the group is Zach Wheeler. He got 5 years, and reporting, because nothing is official yet, he's got to pass a physical. 5 years and $118 million to join the Philadelphia Phillies. You know, you and I talked yesterday that they had to do something. Is this something good enough?
I think so, but why didn't they go after? Well, I don't know. I feel like he's still going to have that handicap issue, injury prone. So I think it's definitely a good signing, but I think it's a scary signing at the same time.
Yeah, you know, I'm interested to see how this, you know, this kind of plays out. He, you know, he has been healthy, you know, but just the fact that we're talking about a guy who missed almost two and a half seasons because of Tommy John. And again, you know, now this was 15 and 16. He came back in 17. So he has proven the last 2 years to be healthy. I 5 years is just such a long time. Okay, I get it. He's just 29. You know, he should be coming into the prime of his career, but, the issues kind of scare me, and I don't know. Maybe it's just me and I'm an idiot.
No, I mean, it's definitely, a huge kind of issue. You've got to wonder, I mean, how much is guaranteed? Well, I guess MLB, so it's all guaranteed. But, I mean, you know, for the team's sake, you know, if I'm a Phillies fan, I'm hoping it's 3 years with two club options and not player options.
So, yeah, no, you know, according to the report, it's just five straight years at 118. I haven't seen the year-to-year value yet. I don't know if that has been announced. You know, obviously they're waiting for everything to you know, for him to clear the physical, which shouldn't be a problem and everything. But I did find an actual humorous side to this story. You ready for this one?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Wheeler was born in Smyrna, Georgia, Dan, which automatically means he should have signed with the Braves. Oddly, the White Sox apparently offered more money, 5 years with more money to get Wheeler. But he signed with the Phillies because his wife is from New Jersey, Dan. She wanted to be closer to home. So I want all those jackasses that you and I hear every day going, this guy's going to sign there because he's from there, or this guy's going to go there because it's close to home, to bend over and stick it as far up their rear end as they can, because where they're from has absolutely nothing to do with it, especially if you're married.
Well, and it's funny, because I think that's one of the points you bring up every time that we hear about it.
Yeah. So, but I just, you know what I mean? You know, I love that. I mean, that was fantastic the minute I read that, you know, because out of the teams he was negotiating with, Philadelphia or Chicago, well, Philadelphia is obviously closer, you know, to New Jersey than Chicago. And, you know, when you're getting $118 million, you would like to think that that's enough to live the rest of your life on, unless you're, you know, some kind of fool. So, you know, money wasn't all that important. And the fact that, you know, the, while the White Sox are rebuilding, the Phillies are closer to winning than they are. It will be interesting for him going into that Philly fan base if he struggles. I mean, they did boo Bryce Harper, so I don't think they have a problem booing Zach Wheeler. But I don't know. Is he the ace now, or is it still Aaron Nola?
No, I think it's still Aaron Nola. I mean, if you have a healthy Jake Arrieta, you come back. And, I mean, I think it's definitely a rotation to me. I don't want to say to be afraid of, you know, like you would say in Washington with, of course, if Strasburg goes back. But, you know, Strasburg and Scherzer. But, I mean, I think if, you know, Vince Velasquez and a couple of the other guys can – kind of come up to par and really anchor down to those 4 and 5. I think you're going to have a really solid rotation coming into 2020.
Yeah, you know, there's always a chance they might, you know, they might just add one more veteran starter. It may not be a high profile guy, but you know, they may just add one more of the guys out there in free agency. So, but yeah, I, you know, like I said, that was my, That was my big humorous thing, and I love the fact when I read that, you know, it was his wife who wanted him to sign with Philadelphia, even though I believe everybody else had him going to the Braves because he's from Georgia. So.
Well, I mean, if you're out in Georgia, why don't you go with the next one?
So, you know, some fun there. But, you know, on the plus side, the Braves did manage to sign a pitcher. You know, they took care of themselves. And I'm thinking when I saw this deal, I thought they might have overpaid here. But they inked Cole Hamels, just a one-year deal. But it's going to cost them $18 million. And I didn't think Hamels was going to get that kind of money. I mean – He was decent for the Cubs. You know, he did make 27 starts. He had a little bit of an injury. 7-7 with a 3.81 ERA. So he was solid. You know, he'll be 36, and he has a, you know, a fantastic career resume. Well, no doubt about that. I mean, he's won a World Series. He's been a World Series MVP. So, you know, he is kind of that veteran guy. I don't believe he's a number one anymore, but I don't believe the Braves need him to be that. Are you buying Hamels with $18 million? That, like I said, that just seemed a lot for me.
I mean, it is a lot, but I think the fact that it's only 1 year doesn't really kill the Braves.
Yeah, I guess that does kind of make it easier to handle. You know, oddly, this is very much in line with kind of the Josh Donaldson signing from last year. You know, we'll just give you 1 year and, you know, kind of go out and see what you can do. But, you know, obviously they'll plug him into the veteran spot that Julio Teheran, you know, held for them. And he's definitely a better starter than Teheran. You know, he'll also have to fill kind of that Dallas Keuchel role last year, even though they only had Keuchel for 19 starts. I like the signing. I just wonder if it was too much money.
Now, you know, here's an interesting one. I guess the Braves are even linked somewhat to Madison Bumgarner, but the reports are saying that whatever Bumgarner gets, it's not going to be as high as Zach Wheeler. Now, is that kind of baffling to you? Because I don't know if I've missed the last 5 years of Major League Baseball and Zach Wheeler and Madison Bumgarner, but I don't know. I still put him above Zach Wheeler.
Yeah, you know, I guess that, you know, maybe it's just because Bumgarner's injury was more recent than Wheeler's. Bumgarner, you know, people forget Bumgarner made 34 starts last year, threw over 200 innings. You know, he was just 9-9 because the Giants weren't very good. You know, I know they made that run, but they ended up being an under 500 team. You know, he still posted a 390 ERA, which with the juice ball isn't terrible. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, they're the same age, except Bumgarner, I guess, has a few more miles on him. You know, he's thrown more innings at the major league level.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not hard to do compared to Zach Wheeler, right?
It's just so weird. The first report I heard today was that, you know, the White Sox, once immediately Wheeler signed, turned their attention to Bumgarner. And he was the guy I wanted them to go after all along. So I'm hoping, you know, they're kind of in the, you know, in the market or in the area here with this. I haven't heard much. Of course, to be fair, you know, we just kind of started hearing stuff about Wheeler yesterday, and he was signed today. So, who knows? Apparently, you know, the reports are here that it's the Twins and the White Sox that they quote being the among the heaviest suitors. They mentioned that the Yankees are involved to some degree, but we hear that every time, and I know the Yankees want one of the two big names. So if, you know, you can get Bumgarner off the board before Cole or Strasburg sign, I think it's in your best interest.
Yeah, well, according to Bob Nightingale, the White Sox haven't started negotiations with Bumgarner, but, I mean, you know, I mean, it's after five, so. Are they really?
Yeah, I mean,
are they working like that?
How difficult would it be to, you know, reach out to his agent, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Now, you mentioned a pitcher got traded. Were you going the route with Dylan Bundy? You know, is he from SoCal?
Yep, your guy. They traded your guy. And before we even get into the trade, I got to ask you this question, and, I mean, I need you to kind of help me figure this one out. How freaking long is this Orioles rebuild going to take? I don't get it. I thought they had already kind of sold off, you know, whatever pieces they could. And, you know, now you got Bundy going, who's all of, I think, 27.
Yeah.
They won last year? They won 54 games. They're going to be lucky to get to that total next year. I just don't know what the hell this team is doing.
You know, this may sound crazy, but, you know, all the talk with Tampa moving, and, I mean, you know, Baltimore's kind of an institution when it comes to Major League Baseball. I mean, you think of all the great teams from the 60s, 70s, and then the Cal Ripken days, and now you've just got this mess of a team. I mean, so what do you really do with them? You know, like you said, the rebuilding, when did that really start?
2 or 3 years? I think the official rebuild. You know, I mean, even though they weren't winning before that, the official rebuild didn't start until, you know, I think until they shipped Manny off to the Dodgers, right? So that was, what, 16?
Yeah. I mean, in 14, they had a pretty solid team. They just didn't get to where they needed to be.
So, but, yeah, you know, I just, you know, I keep looking here, and I mean, you know, obviously they're stuck with Chris Davis in that contract. There's nothing, you know, they can do about it. But, you know, you look at some of these other guys who are coming back, and, you know, what's exciting, you know, about the only thing is Trey Mancini, and you got to wonder at 27, why the hell are they keeping him when he's the only guy they can get something for? You know, I mean, he hit .291 with 35 bombs and 97 RBIs on a crap team last year. You know, there are plenty of teams looking for quality outfielders. They could probably get a decent amount back for him. I don't know why he's still here. You know, and then, I mean, you know, with Bundy gone from the pitching staff, you got John Means, who somehow made an all-star team and finished ahead of Eloy Jimenez in the Rookie of the Year voting, but he's actually the same age as Bundy. So, you know, David Hess is going to anchor your rotation. He was 1-10 with a 7.09 ERA last year. That ought to work out for him, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't get this at all. This team is just going to be an embarrassment. And Baltimore used to be always used to be a quality team, and, you know, and I'm sure they're going to point and go, oh, yeah, well, look, we got four guys back for Bundy. You know, they got four right-handed pitchers. What are the chances all four of them make the majors, Dan?
Well, I don't even think it's a 25% chance.
So, you know, it's looking like the best one, the guy they kind of focus on, is this Isaac Matheson, and he apparently looks like a reliever now. Oh no, he did make 24 starts here. Oh good Lord, Dan, it's one. Oh no, here you go. It was 24 relief appearances. I was going to say he had 24 games with 43 and 2/3 innings. I was going to be like, oh no. You know, so he looked like he's the best guy coming back, according to this report. They got Zach Peel, Kyle Bradish, and Kyle Bernovich are the other three guys who are also in this deal. You know, let's see. It looks like Peek was just drafted. So he only pitched at what do they call it? Short season. So he's a long, long, long way away from being anything. Bradish pitched in high A last year. So, again, another guy who's years away from seeing them. And then Bernovich, if I'm hopefully pronouncing that correctly, he's another guy who hasn't pitched. He pitched in short season. So he's not – or no, he pitched in the Cape Cod League. So he hasn't even pitched at the minor league level yet. So they've – you know, what the hell did they really get back?
Excuses?
You know, I mean, I – you know, you get, okay, maybe this Matheson develops into your closer – down the line, but other than that, I mean, you didn't even get pieces. I mean, you got hopes and prayers that, you know, for a guy who at one point was looked at as a top of the rotation starter. You know, I mean, I know his numbers haven't been great, but, you know, let's face it, he's been pitching on bad teams, and, you know, he's not getting the support, so that probably is going to kill you. Obviously, you know, the 4.79 ERA didn't help last year, but you wonder if, you know, if he's on a little better team, if maybe he pitches better. Yeah, I don't, I mean, in, you know, in all honesty, it just, it doesn't seem like they got anything for a guy who, you know, is at least a, you know, is at least a number three on the team.
Well, I mean, but you sent him off to a, you know, I've kind of moved in that he may have been a three on, you know, the Cubs, the Yankees, or kind of anywhere else, but you just sent him to a team that doesn't even have an ace or really a number two. So, you know, I do think it's a good move for the Angels, and I think it gives the Angels fans a little bit more excitement. Maybe not more excitement, but because when you look at the numbers, they're not great. But you got to look at them overall, and I still think he's got some quality there. And I mean, let's be honest, you know, he was pitching to pitch last year. You know, was he pitching to win? No, because he knew they weren't going to win. You know, so maybe, you know, the good old change of scenery is going to help out a lot. But, I mean, you know, the questions become in, you know, how is he going to be handled by a great manager who likes to take his guy out after 4 1/3 inning because they gave up a double even though they're up by 7 runs. You know, so that'll be interesting. And like I said, yeah, they've got Shohei Ohtani coming back and Andrew Heaney. But if you're going by experience, I mean, you just took Dylan Bundy out of a bad situation and put him into the marquee role. He is, without a doubt, their ace. He's not an ace, but he is their ace because they don't have anyone who actually has the length of, you know, major league experience that he has. So I do think it's a good trade for them to have made. And, I mean, like you said, the Angels didn't give up anything. So, you know, while the reports say that they should still be in the market for the top guys, yeah, I think they need to land, you know, Baumgartner, if they can, Cole, which they have their meeting with, along with the Dodgers. But I still think they need to add a guy like Cole or Baumgartner and add another guy. You could push Bundy into that three hole.
Well, right now, won't Bundy be their number two behind Shohei Ohtani? You know, is that where you have him slot? You have him slotted number two behind Ohtani, or do you have Heaney in front of him until he gets hurt?
Well, I think the way the Angels are going to set it up is going to be Heaney, Bundy, and then Ohtani. But, I mean, realistically, he should be their number one because Ohtani has, what, like 6 games of pitching experience, maybe 12 in Major League Baseball. And, you know, like you said, it was Heaney's injury proneness. I don't know.
So, yeah, I don't know either. I just thought it was interesting when I saw the deal and then, you know, looked into it more and more. I mean, you know, obviously it's a good deal for the Angels. It's something they needed. You know, like you said, mm-hmm. obviously they need more. You know, I mean, I honestly don't think it would have hurt them if they managed to sign, be it Cole, Strasburg, Baumgartner, or even Dallas Keuchel. It probably wouldn't hurt them to bring in a third guy and, you know, take a look at even a guy like, say,
yeah.
I don't know who's out there, you know, maybe like a Rick Porcello or, you know, a starter like that just to add a little depth with, you know, the luck they've kind of had with their guys. I don't think that would be a gigantic negative for them. So.
No, and I mean, at this point, when it comes to, you know, aces and two and three guys, I mean, I don't think any of that really comes into play with the Angels organization. I honestly think when you're deciding how to start this season off, you know, maybe you pick a fan base guy to start the opening game at home, but I mean, if I'm there, I mean, I'm spinning a wheel, I'm throwing darts, I'm flipping coins, I'm pulling a name out of the hat. I don't think it really matters which what order these guys go in.
So yeah, it's definitely, you know, gonna be a, well, you know, we'll have to see what else they can do. But yeah, if they had to go right now, yeah, I don't know how that would work and how that would go, and you'd have to wonder if Joe Maddon would re-question his decision about signing there. You know.
Yeah. But another positive for the Angels, who have had a successful record with sales and tickets and all that good stuff, they agreed for another 30 years in Anaheim. They're still going to be the Los Angeles Angels. But the thing I found most interesting, and I think this might spark your interest a little bit, so they now own everything. They purchased the stadium and surrounding property for $325 million, which doesn't, you know, seem like a horrible price to kind of take over on all that. So they own it. What interests me, though, is they hired the architect that designed, you know, the Viking Stadium, and then I guess the Ranger Stadium also. But when it comes time to actually pull through with that reconstruct, I don't want to say new construction or, you know, redo, but when they decide to follow through with their plan, I'm assuming, you know, kind of like the football stadium that's being built in L.A. for, I don't know, every team on the West Coast, except for the Raiders and the Seahawks. Well, the California football stadium, you know, everyone's going to play there. You know, I'm assuming they're going to be looking at $500 million. So I wonder if any of those funds are going to come out of the public, or if this is going to be strictly an Angels thing. But I do think it's pretty cool that they're going that route. And, I mean, I had the luxury of just being on the outside of the Viking Stadium. And, I mean, it's a marvel to begin with. So it'll be interesting to see what they do there. I mean, what are your thoughts on it? How do you think they're going to go about that process?
Yeah, you know, I mean, like, it seems like, you know, everybody else, the Cubs and the Red Sox, will get a new ballpark. You know, and that's, you know, I saw something saying that apparently the first thing they want to do is develop the real estate surrounding the stadium. I don't know what that means. I don't know what they'll plan to do, or, you know, how you develop that real estate. But apparently that's where they're going to start. But, yeah, in the end, you got to figure, I mean, you know, that place is 50 years old, so that makes it one of the older existing ballparks. You know, I guess you got to wonder, can they get it replaced so the Angels can play? Or is it going to be a goofy thing like the NFL, where the Rams and the Chargers had to play in a temporary stadium while they were waiting to get finished? I know baseball seems to be a little better with their construction, which is odd, because football only plays 16 games and you think they could get it done. I don't know. You think there's any holdups with that, or you think they'll get a new stadium eventually?
Well, I mean, the design process is going to take some time, so I mean, I don't foresee it for at least 3 years. Whichever way they decide to go, if it's build a new one, you know, do they decide to, you know, with the property they purchase, do they decide to just, you know, build it next door and then knock down the, you know, the stadium now, after the fact? So, sorry, I'm laughing at this guy. But, you know, that's one of the things. But, you know, like you said, with the development of the real estate around, I think this is one of the things that all the teams are going to be involved in that have the opportunity to, because then that's going to bring in revenue to make up for lost ticket sales. Or, you know, if more teams start developing the real estate, then they don't have to rely strictly on ticket sales. And then maybe, Big Jack, the owners will agree to shorten the season up a little bit, kind of go back to the old game log. I forgot, what was it, 156?
I don't see the season shortening, but you never know. Maybe it's something that they might actually consider.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think it needs to be shortened a whole bunch. I just think they can expand somewhat of the playoffs a little bit and leave, maybe give the guys a couple of days off extra. Because they, no matter what, end up in, July, August, September, losing any days off they have because of all the makeup, because Major League Baseball is so great at scheduling April games. Hey, we have all these East Coast teams that play West Coast teams, so let's have them play in the snow in April, as opposed to, 60-degree weather in California. But, that's besides the point. I'm not saying that I think the league is going to drop the season down, by 20, 30 games or so. But I think there could be at least 10 games just to shorten the season up because, and maybe get the playoffs to start a little sooner by a week, so it's not going into November. But, I guess back to the point, you said that they're looking to develop the real estate around the area, and that's essentially what the Ricketts came in and did with the Cubs. They pretty much purchased everything around them. They purchased some of the rooftops. They built that hotel that's going, I forget how many restaurants it's going to be around there. So they're redeveloping that so that their revenue doesn't just include, the ticket sales. And, of course, people are going to be like, oh, well, it's going to help, with payroll for players. But in the end, with the luxury tax, that doesn't really help. Unfortunately, for my Southside Chicago White Sox fan friends, and I think the Baltimore fans too, it just doesn't work. For the White Sox, I think once Jerry Reinsdorf is gone out of the picture and someone who's not in his family takes that team over, I don't think you'll see a big change with the White Sox in that area, but that's besides the point. So I think the Angels are going in the right direction, and hell, in 30 years, I think it's going to be a totally different area around there.
Yeah, well, hopefully. It would be nice to see the best player in the game compete for, at least be competitive for a World Series. We actually get in the playoffs, once or twice. But, we'll have to see how that works out. So.
That idea also kind of runs down to the minor leagues. You remember down when we went down to South Bend, the owner of the Cubs, South Bend Cubbies down there, since we've been there, they've built apartment complexes in the outfield, and they're kind of trying to redevelop the area surrounding the ballpark. So, it's kind of a thing that I think the whole league needs to look at and not just look like the money bag, the monopoly guy that everyone thinks they are.
Yeah, it's really a good idea. If you do it the right way, obviously it's going to help the ball club. So.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, moving on to what you were going into next. Are
you
going to talk about the Giants? Big
signing? No, I actually wanted to tell you I got clickbaited by the MLB Network today. I was flipping channels and, they had MLB Tonight on, and luckily Brian Kenny wasn't hosting, so it was palatable for me to watch. And they were talking about the Wheeler signing, And, you know, on the right-hand side of the screen, they have what the story, the next story they're going to talk about was. And they had the Cubs logo, and underneath it, it said trade brewing. So I thought maybe they had some, you know, some information on the Cubs looking into, you know, making a trade, or had some inside information about a trade that had been talked about. Yeah, it wasn't anywhere close to that, Dan. All that it was they mentioned that the Cubs are aggressive and they seem to have the intent to trade one of their big name players.
Aggressive in what?
in trying to make a trade.
I mean, if you don't have the information, how can you really say how they are?
Right, and that's what I didn't understand, but they were talking about, you know, and the weird thing is it's nothing that you and I haven't talked about here. You know, it's the, you know, will it be Chris Bryant? Will it be Javi Baez? Will it be Wilson Contreras? You know, they even mentioned that Anthony Rizzo isn't off limits, even though I think you and I believe that he is. I don't see him going there at all. Unless, you know, it was one of those deals that just blew the Cubs away and, you know, they kind of had to make it. So, yeah, it was just, you know, just one of those things. I was kind of like, why is this even on your board? This isn't a story. You know, the Cubs are motivated to make a trade like every single other team in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So, yeah, I basically, like I said, I was just clickbaited.
Yeah, well, you know, and kind of you brought up the Rizzo situation. I mean, for the amount of money they're not paying him for what he does, he's not going anywhere.
Yeah, that's the other reason he's not going anywhere. He's got such a team-friendly contract, and that's why Contreras isn't going anywhere. Even with his arbitration award, he's a steal for the team. There's no reason to deal. I mean, you know, like the talk early was, well, they're going to deal Contreras and sign Grandal. Well, you'd have to sign Grandal for three times more than what Contreras is going to make. So that's just stupid when Contreras is a better catcher.
Yeah, well, and I mean, it's, you know, the White Sox made their move, but I still don't see Grandal as an every day. I think, what did you say, he hit about 130? But I just don't see him being out there as much as Contreras would be.
No, and, you know, you look at the moves the White Sox have made. With them bringing James McCann back, I'm willing to bet that Grandal gets a lot of time at DH and first base. And I figure he'll, if he catches 100 games, I'll almost be surprised.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, like, I think you and I have kind of decided if the Cubs do make one of these moves, it's going to be Chris Bryant, right?
Oh, yeah.
So,
I mean, for them, it's the safest move, because I think this season you'd get if you moved Bryant and Baez, I think you'd get a lot of backlash from the fan base. You know, and then what's his name, Theo, would take his tail between his legs and run. My other point with Rizzo, though, was the only way Rizzo gets traded is if Jed Hoyer takes the president's job at some other team. Because
the Angels?
If anyone knows anything. Yeah. Well, you know, if anyone knows anything, Rizzo has gone with Jed from Boston to San Diego to the Cubs. So if Jed gets a new job, watch for Rizzo. But, you know, back to Baez and Bryant, if you move both of those guys, I think, you know, the fan base would just – there would be a big backlash from that, and you'd have a lot of unhappy people. Not only that, you'd have two positions where you – God forbid, you'd be forced to bring back Addison Russell because who's going to play shortstop? But, you know, but I guess they got enough guys that are signed to $1 million contracts for the next 10 years to play third and short, right? Guys who should just be utility players. But, I mean, you know, the safest bet is Bryant because, you know, I think we've kind of come to the agreement that the arbitration holdout kind of hurt them when they did that to him. And with his agent, I don't think he's really going to be posed to re-sign with Theo.
Yeah, it'll be interesting if he's still here when he gets the free agency. I don't expect that. You know, a lot of it is I would like to know, you know, what are they getting in return? Are you getting a starting pitcher that you can use, or is it just one of these deals where Theo's going to go out and get a bunch of prospects and try to reload?
Yeah, I'll be back.
You know, that's always the big question. But, like, I found some other quotes, and I thought this was funny. It says, Chicago has been described by various executives around the game as aggressive, manic, motivated, and obvious in their intention to trade a big name. So I don't know, you know, what we'll see. I mean, they can afford to move, you know, be it Bryant, Rizzo, Baez, or Contreras. If they move one of those guys and, you know, and they get a proper return, they can still contend in the NL Central. Will they be World Series worthy? Well, I guess it depends who or what they got back or how that kind of works out. But I don't know, you know, where you send them now. I mean, you know, the Phillies are looking for a third baseman. So, you know, obviously they would be very interested in Bryant. You know, they have a solid farm system. But what would you get back in return? You know, if the Nationals lose Rendon and they can't sign Donaldson, who they had talks with, you have to think they'd be very interested in Bryant as well. So, you know, but it's just the process of what do these teams have, and, you know, what would they be willing to give up to get him? So we'll have to see how it works out, or, you know, where it goes. But yeah, I thought it was quite humorous that, I kind of fell into that trap because they had it up. And, you know, like I said, when I saw trade brewing, I thought possibly they had, you know, maybe put something out there, or it had leaked that they had talked to somebody, or however that works out. So we'll have to see what they do. But, you know, the other name that I'm still surprised is coming up as being attached to the Cubs is, I guess, apparently they're still in contact with Nicholas Castellanos, with, you know, the possibility of bringing him back. Now, to be fair, he was really good for them after they picked him up. He was probably the best player, you know, since the 51 games he played for them. He was probably the best guy. You know, he hit .321 with 16 homers and 36 RBIs. You know, obviously I would still worry about his defense. But, yeah, apparently there are some other teams kicking the tires. You know, the Giants have said they wanted to add a veteran outfielder. He's one of the guys they apparently want to speak to. The White Sox name has also been mentioned. I don't know how good of a fit he would be with the White Sox, but we'll see. But, yeah, I was just kind of surprised that the Cubs were still, you know, in there, because I don't know if adding, you know, and I know they hate Alberto Almora, and I don't even know why the hell he's still on the team. You know, I don't know why they just didn't non-tender him, probably for the fact that he's only going to get about $1.5 million or so in arbitration, and that won't kill them. But it wasn't a great fit last year. I mean, obviously it didn't help them win anything. So I don't know how it would be for a full season or multiple seasons, but we'll see what they do with him. But, you know, kind of in that third base realm, Anthony Rendon has actually had meetings with the Rangers and the Dodgers. The Nationals, of course, are very interested in bringing him back. You know, they did make the one contract offer to him. We'll kind of see where this goes. But, yeah, the Nationals have more or less stated if they miss out on Rendon, they would pivot and try to bring in Josh Donaldson. So, you know, again, this kind of opens up a Chris Bryant window, because now we're looking at three teams that didn't land a third baseman. Would the Dodgers, the Rangers, or the Nationals be interested in Chris Bryant? You know, I mean, obviously you would think so. And the Dodgers have a deep, deep farm system. So you wonder if they would give up, you know, a plus pitching prospect with a plus fielding prospect to bring in a guy like Brian. You know, that could be really interesting. So, you know, you got to – and again, you know, we're going to have to kind of wait and see how the market plays out and which way it kind of goes. But, yeah, you know, any team that is looking for a third baseman and misses out could be, you know, a team that comes to the Cubs and, you know, they're like, hey, you're looking to make a big move. Let's talk about, you know, a Chris Bryant deal. So we'll, you know, we'll have to see how that shakes out or how it's going to play out. But I don't know. I don't know if it's – I'm not sure if I'm sold on it being a good thing that they move Bryant. You know, I know, like, Schomburg Stu was really down on him, even though I thought he had a pretty good year last year. He complained about him not driving in enough runs. But, again, he was hitting in the two-hole. And when you hit in the two-hole, you don't get a lot of RBI opportunities. So we'll have to see. Oh, hang on. I didn't realize we had a caller hanging on. Let's see if I can get him in here. Come on, switchboard, work for me. All right, there we go. Hey, caller, you there? Sorry, I didn't know you were hanging on. What's your name?
Oh, sorry, sir, about that. The name is Lou from New Jersey.
How you doing, Lou? What's going on?
All right. A first-time caller, but I've heard about this show for quite a while, so I thought I'd take a chance.
Oh, well,
anyway,
thank you.
Yes, I know. Well, anyway, I've heard of a few baseball moves today, too. It looks like the Giants are finally going to go with Eli Manning for the final games of the season. I kind of knew all along that they were going to bring Manning in later towards the season to give him a proper send-off, because when you've played as long as he has and has done well for the Giants, I mean, not letting him start before he retires, that's no way to go out. I mean, really.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if, you know, is proper the way to describe it, because sadly they're probably going to get beat, but at least he's going to get a chance to play.
Yeah, which also brings another point. What is wrong with the NFC East? I mean, that division is, well, shall we say, pathetic? I mean, really. I mean, Dallas is only even at 500, and, you know, if they lose to the Bears tomorrow night, which I hope not, and if the Eagles do lose in the Turnpike War against the Giants on Monday, this division is going to be ugly. I mean, I think we've only seen it once before where a losing team won the division, and I'm hoping it doesn't come down again. I mean, because this division right now is a mess. I have never seen it that bad in all the years I've been following the NFL, which is a very long, long time.
So, well, now, being in New Jersey, do you root for the Giants? Are you a Giants fan?
My father's side of the family is, but I'm more for gangrene.
Oh, okay. So, well, you know, because I did hear the rumor with the Jets today that they may trade Le'Veon Bell in the off season. Would you be okay with that?
Thank God. I expect a lot more from Bell, but all I can say is his bell has been rung way too often this season. No pun intended, of course.
You know, yeah, it's just it's been a rough year football wise in that area. I thought, I wasn't expecting much out of the Giants, but I thought the Jets would improve, and I'm a little surprised they haven't been
so
better.
So did I, especially with the addition of Bell. But of course, Bell came over here, and got his bell rung, and of course, our star quarterback has been seeing too many ghosts lately. So.
Yeah.
Has been the same since. I mean, Giants Stadium has been cursed this year. First it's ghost, then it's a black cat. What's next?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I think I just saw
well, you
a ball
know,
flying
and,
over there.
You know, obviously, to be fair, it did hurt the defense. You know, C.J. Mosley's played, two games?
Yeah.
You know, and I know they finally put him on IR, so that didn't help. But I know they've had some other defensive injuries. But, yeah, it's just been a down year overall there.
Horrendous. I thought last year was bad enough, but this year is even worse.
Yeah, and, you know, I know the other thing, you know, I did hear they've said that Adam Gase is going to come back next year. Did you like the hire when they made it? Are you happy he's coming back, or do you want to see him go through another coaching change?
Well, you know what? You got to give him a little bit of credit. I mean, a little bit of slack because his first year – And first-year coaches really don't adjust well to, you know, any team. I mean, I've seen it happen way too many times before. So I'm willing to give him a little benefit of the doubt for this year. But if he bombs out again next year, I got two words for you. You're fired.
So, yeah. And, now, you know, obviously they're going to get a pretty high pick in the draft. What do you – do they add a lineman? They add a defensive player? Which way do you think they're going to be looking?
Our defense is pathetic. We need more solid defense because it's awful. But, you know, every time we see a good draft pick, it doesn't even matter. I mean, we've got high draft picks in the past couple of years, and what has it done for us? Absolutely nothing. Which just goes to show, just because you're a high draft pick, like the second and third, does it really mean anything? No.
Well, you know, so far, you know, like, I wouldn't call Darnold a bust. I mean, he definitely looks like he's got the potential to be a quality starting quarterback, so maybe that one will work out for him.
You want to call Mark Sanchez out of retirement? Be my guest. All yourself with John Ehrlich. No.
You know, he's made himself a really nice career as a backup quarterback in the NFL. He hung around a long time.
Yeah.
Well,
oh, my God, I'm getting old. Oof.
You know, that was
I mean, we that had that,
pretty...
and, of course, you know, even prior to that, back in, like, the 97 season, in the 98 playoffs, when they had the lead against Denver at halftime in the championship game, I thought for sure, like, oh, this is it. This is gonna be the year we're going. And then they choked.
Yeah, you know, did they make a couple AFC championship appearances, or was it just the one?
No, they made, well, in that time span, they made three. They made one with Sanchez in 97. And they did make two more.
Oh, so
I think,
yeah, because I know for a while,
for a while there,
it seemed like they were on the brink and they were going to give New England some competition, and then they just kind of went south.
You mean them, or as I call them, the cheaters?
Yeah.
Here's a question for you. How many balls did they deflate during the Super Bowl with Atlanta? That's all I want to know.
Yeah, you know, it's always tough, you know, who you never really know what goes on. So
I smell a rat.
We'll have to see. But, well, you know, Lou, I appreciate the call, and I hope, you know, you call in again and, you know, listen a little more.
I will. I'm always checking the schedule for when you guys are on. I mean, I've been around with Blog Talk now for almost 4 years.
Oh, great. Well, you know, we definitely appreciate it. Thanks for taking the time to call in.
What's your show,
Lou?
I do. Well, it's not on this network actually, but I hope that doesn't you know, tick you
That's
off.
That's all right.
Okay, good. It's called the Enhanced Sports Show. We're on Saturday nights, 5 to 7 Eastern Time. What is your time zone?
We're Central.
Okay, in your case, 4 to 6. And we tackle almost everything in the world of sports. The number to call is 712-775-7035, and the PIN number is 423-999 and the pound sign. But in January, we're going to be moving to a new number and everything, but I'll explain that as we draw closer to that date.
Sounds good. All right, Lou, thanks for the call, buddy. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, hey, look at that. A good caller. Hope you got that there. So, oh, hey, Dan.
Well, that was pretty cool. I don't know if Lou's still listening, but, hey, shoot us all that info at sportstimeradio@hotmail.com.
So, yeah, that was nice. You know, thanks, Lou. Appreciate the call. I was putzing around on the internet. I forgot to look to see if anybody was there, and there he was. I was like, damn. Sorry, I felt bad. I made him hang on.
It happens.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, you know, like you said, we don't have an intern, you know, like a lot of, you know, like all the places do. So, you know, anything you and I are doing or looking up, it's you and I who are actually looking it up. It's not like it's somebody else. So, but yeah, he did mention, I don't know if you saw this, But Eli going to get the start for the Giants because Daniel Jones allegedly has a mild high ankle sprain. So Eli's going to get the start this week.
Wow. Did you see my start against the Bears? We won. Or, well, the Lions won.
Bro. that would be fun, and, you know, and then, you know, Eli gets the, you know, the Monday night game, so he gets to showcase his talent. But, you know, obviously we've got our game tomorrow, you know, locally here. The Bears have the Thursday night game against Dallas. Are you excited? I don't even know how to put it now with this Bears team. You know, I guess if they win out, they could be a playoff team, but how are you feeling?
This is at home, right? I think this is one of the games I could have went to.
Yeah, they're home.
Yeah, this is one of my options for I don't know if I told you, but you know, with Uncle Bob's passing, his wife just decided to give away the last few games because she didn't want to deal with trying to sell tickets that nobody wanted. She said those were her words. She's like, "No one's gonna buy these. Just take one." But I did not want to do a Thursday night. She gave them to me and her nephew. So I'm actually going to the Sunday night game against the Chiefs on the 22nd, before Christmas.
Well, I think you picked the better game.
Yeah. Well, you know, I figured we'll get to see the guy who could have been on the Bears, but they decided not to draft him. And here's the big surprise for me, Big Jack, was my wife actually agreed to go. And her sister and her husband. Her husband's more of a NASCAR guy, so he's really not into the NFL. So I was actually surprised that all three of them, like, agreed to go. So, I don't know. You know, I thought, but, you know, this is my first real Bears game, not a real NFL game, not a preseason, so that would be cool. But I don't know. I really don't know what to make out of tomorrow night. I mean, they lost to the Lions on this weekend really blurred everything. So I forget what it was on Thanksgiving, correct? And
yes.
I mean, the Lions just picked up any guy off the street to QB, right?
Well, he was with the team all year. He was just on the practice squad. So.
Oh, okay. But I mean, you get my point. Like, they might as well have. So it's this. I just don't know what to make of this Bears team. I don't know. I think the whole Matt Nagy signing was, I think everyone got a little too excited, and I think everyone figured out all his tricks, just kind of like Mark Trestman. I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
I think when you try to go for the splash, I don't know. I don't really know what to say about this team, to be honest. But I did see a report that numbers-wise, Trubisky's having a better year than Tom Brady. Is that... Do you back that up?
Yeah. There's I can't remember which analytic they were using, but yeah, he is. Brady's having a bit of a rough year. So, but I did find it humorous. I wanted to work this in while I got a minute. You know, Mr. Fantasy and I, our money league team did make the playoffs. Dan, we finished 500 at. And we ended up in fourth place in our division, but we were in the best division out of the league. If we were in any other division, we would have finished in second or third. So we just, we didn't make the playoffs. We just missed out. We were close. I think we missed out by a game or two, but you know, it was just the idea that we got stuck in the toughest division, and obviously we lost some games we would have won had we played the weaker guys. So just another rough year for us. Oh, but Dan and I are going to take off. We expect tomorrow to give us another shot. Come on, we're going to know the deal. Get on over to sportsradio.com. Get on the people on the pop up over there this morning. Just wire those. Follow the link over to the Facebook page and give that a like. But don't forget the Twitter page. Of course, feel free to let me know if you'd like to do that. Now,
sportstimeradio.com.